get into the Word of God, becoming and staying one, part one, okay? There's three parts to this series, this little mini-series within the mini-series of the mini-series, okay? And this is for, it's primarily for couples here, but as you guys know, just like you couples were able to translate and import into your own lives the series before on dating, and you were able to adapt to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to touch you. So also you singles and you dating couples, somehow by the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to translate and adopt what you believe is for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Otherwise, you can just chill and take a nap, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that your Word has something to say to us. Your Word, the living Word, wants to direct us and shape us. We give you all the rights, all the permission to do so. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Ephesians, and I want to start with this text, actually, on marriage. As we talk about marriage, I want to talk about how important it is for us to be unified. Not just stay together, not just tolerate one another, but be intentionally and lovingly unified. Paul says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. This is the word of the Lord. When we are united in God, bonded in His Spirit, we have the potential to preach the gospel, and we have the potential to plant the gospel in our world. I've been saying this over and over again. When we're united in Christ and lovingly loving each other, we have the chance to be a signpost of what's to come. The great garden city in Revelation, where all of this is headed in the renewal of all things. We as a couple can preach the gospel to the world just by loving each other really well. But what gets in the way? What jeopardizes this unity, this call to unity, even in marriage? What jeopardizes it is disrespect and the lack of love. Disrespect and the lack of love. As couples, often we find ourselves doing things that are kind of disrespectful, sometimes outright disrespectful. Some of us talk a certain way to our spouses that we would never have that kind of tone with somebody else. We have such familiarity with our spouse that we end up, in essence, disrespecting them. And at other times, we're not quite that loving. And these two things begins to jeopardize that harmony, that unity that God desires for us to have so that Christ can be preached through our love and unity. But Paul gives us a plan, and this is what Paul says. Paul says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's out of your love and respect for Christ that you submit to one another. And then he says, each one of you must also love his wife. Now, wives, you can also love your husbands, okay? As he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So Paul gives us the strategy already. We don't really have to make it up. Paul gives us a way to stay unified. Now, you singles, you can take this and apply it to your life. How you do Christian life, your Christ life, you can do these three things and make sure you too are unified with those you're supposed to be unified with at every stage of your life. Whether it be your church, your home group, your ministry team, or even your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever stage that you're in with those Christ friends that you have, you can practice these three things as well. So what's the plan? The plan is this: submit, love, and respect. Now, after the Easter season, we're going to get to the other two. But today, I want to focus very heavily on what it is to submit. Because we don't really, I think, have a firm grasp on what submission is. And many times, many of you have grown up in the church and you were just told to submit, that it's the right thing to do. But we don't really know what it means. And so today, I want to lay this out biblically so that we all are equipped to love each other properly, so that we can be united, so that we can preach the gospel in our time through our marriages. Amen? Echo, before I move forward, this is very important. Our future depends on couples who are united in holy love. Our future, the potency of this church, rests on couples. Many times it will rest, much of it will rest on couples who humble themselves and not just tolerate and do parallel living for years. I'm talking about humble yourself so much that there's Christ-like serving of one another and unity. When you do that, this church will have such an anointing, and we will be able to preach the gospel to all parts of the world. This actually affects that. So, with that said, I want to get into what the definition of submission is. This is from Nathan Foster. Some of you guys know Richard Foster. I don't want to go into it, but Richard Foster wrote a book called Celebration Discipline. This is his son, Nathan Foster, who wrote another book, basically his dad's book for dummies. That's what he did. He was like, too many people be reading my dad's book. Millions of his dad's books has been sold, but unfortunately, millions have not put it into practice. And so what he found is he needed to make it even more simple so that we can actually do these Christ disciplines. And one of it is submission. And he says, submission is giving way to the will of the other. It's holding our interests lightly and holding the other person's interest above our own. And can I say something to you? This is one of the hardest things to do when you're married. Some of you are so arrogant. You're like, when I get married, I'm going to submit. When I get married, I'm going to lovingly give way. I'm going to lovingly consider my ways lighter and consider my hubby's or my baby's ways greater or heavier. I just want to tell you something. Get out of your arrogance. Humble yourself now. Practice this now, because when you get married, you're going to see the madness of your spouse. You're going to see in your eyes many times how dumb that person is, and you're going to have such a hard time. You think I'm kidding. Many times, the reason why couples fight is because when the other projects their desire, their wills, their way, the other one goes, no way. It is so lame. It is so not right. It is so inconvenient. It is so not smart. My way is better. You look at a couple when they try to discipline their children. Honey, don't do that. Honey, you don't do that. Honey, we should do it like this. Honey, you should do it like that. There is no agreement. Why? Because I think my way is weightier, is more important, it's better. But Scripture says you must stay unified. And one of the ways you stay unified is you take all of your ways and make it really light. And you make all of her ways or his ways, whatever he or she says, and you already know what he or she's going to say. And you make that really heavy, that it presses or impresses on you. What is another definition of submission? It's the art of resisting the everlasting burden of always needing to get our own way. Oh Lord. Singles, right now is a glorious time in your life. You get everything your way. I like to get a coffee. You go and get coffee. I like Chinese food tonight. Chinese food tonight. I like to watch this movie instead of that kind of movie. That's what you're going to get. Not when you're married. When you're married, you don't get to do everything your way, and you don't get to have your way. But when you are a submitted person, you resist the everlasting burden of always needing to get your own way. This is a gift from God. Your spouse is like God's gift to you, going, can you just live in a way that doesn't have to always go your way? Because I like to discipline you in this way, because if you can do this with your spouse, you are primed and ready to do it with me. For you cannot say you are submitted to the invisible God if you cannot submit willingly to your living, human, tangible person sleeping right next to you. Honey, for this year's vacation, I like to go into the woods. Hell no. That's what you're going to get. Honey, my definition of a great weekend hangout is going to this bar and having lots of drinks and having fun there. Nope. Sometimes you have to give in and go, what are you? And some of you guys can't even ask that because you know the person's going to respond with the opposite of what you like. You guys know this is true, right? Couples, this is very true. We don't even dare ask. We just plan. Because we know if we say, honey, what you want to do Friday night? Don't even answer. Because what you're about to say, I'm going to hate. And sure enough, they answer. I like to X, Y, and Z. And you sit there and go, oh my gosh. And then we critique them. That is so boring. That is so lame. That is so this and this and that. And the other person is dejected and going, what did you even ask me? I feel like I'm exposing our family so much. I feel like, honey, we need to go into counseling. You and I need some help. So, but how many of you guys know you need pastors that went through a lot of jacked up seasons, right? Amen? All right. So here's my definition. The belief that my spouse's position, plans, and perspectives are good ideas and made with good intentions. Ooh, that one's hard. Made with good intentions because my spouse is a good person. That is submission. That is the art of submitting to someone. You actually believe your spouse is smart. Your spouse has something important to say. What their ideas, they're good ideas, and they're done with good intentions. You just do this because you like it. That's not believing in them. That's not submitting to them, right? Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it because I know you like it. Because really, I know you want to go there and see everyone else but me. That's not submission. Submission is I believe you and I believe your intentions. That's submission. It's giving them the benefit of the doubt because I know the person I married is a good person in Christ. Oh, Pastor Brian, I don't know if I'm submissive or not. I'm going to help you find out right now, okay? So I'm going to ask you these questions. Are you ready? When was the last time I listened, obeyed, and responded positively without making comments or criticisms and simply willingly did what my spouse wanted? When was the last time? All you singles that are not dating, I have the same question for you. You can apply to anyone in your life that you're close to. You can even apply this at work. When's the last time you just did what your boss said to do with all your heart and did it with excellence? Because the practice of submission, this Christ living, is what it is wherever you are. Does this make sense to you? It just happens to be amplified and always presented to us consistently every day in marriage. So when was the last time? You need to be able to say in your journals, I humble myself. I put my wife or my husband's opinions or perspectives heavier than mine, and today I submitted to her desires or will or way. Lord, it was hard, but in doing this, I am practicing how to do this with you. When was the last time? It's hard, isn't it? Second question. When was the last time I jumped to give the benefit of the doubt? A charitable explanation, right? Rather than jump to conclusions, assuming the worst of my spouse's intentions. Your spouse comes home and says, I have a great idea. I think this weekend we should do X, Y, and Z. And you jump and assume the wrong intentions and actually project that to the person. How do you know this is happening often? One of you guys is always defending what you just said. I didn't mean that. I'm serious. I just want to go on a double date with this couple. I know, but really it's because you wanted X, Y, and Z, isn't it? No, it's not. The minute someone's always defending, you know it's not a submissive environment. Can you guys feel the tension? Practicing the art of submission with our spouses. This is how we do it. Number one, you give up. Everyone say give up. Give up. Give up, or God's going to send you a really strong spouse that crushes you and humbles you like the hand of the Lord smooshing you. Give up, give up, give up your ways. Give up your ways. Give up that tight-fisted thing that you have where you're just like, I have to have it my way. You know, I didn't know I had this problem until I got married because, you know, I lived alone since I was 18. I was my own man, my own king. I want to eat out. I want to eat out. I want to hang out. I want to hang out. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to hang out. When I got married, oh, my God. She's a different human being with different interests. And sometimes I found myself not giving up or giving in just so I don't have to give up and give in. Because I found myself going, this is all the time. Her desires and my desires, her perspectives and my perspectives always clashing. Two entire different worlds are coming together in Christ. Next time when we do this, I'm going to explain why this is such a powerful thing and why this has to do with the reconciliation of the whole world. But that's for next time, okay? But giving up is so hard. One of the ways you give up, one of the ways you submit is you give up your ways once in a while. Another way that you submit is you give way to your spouse's interest, ways, and perspectives. It's like some of you are married to somebody who loves like comedy movies, but that poor man or woman has yet to watch a comedy movie with you. Because you're like, over my dead body, I'm watching comedy. We're watching dramas. And you're sitting there going, okay. Every week, okay. And you're sitting there going, yes, my honey is so good. Well, listen. Your honey has been giving up and giving way to you a lot. It's your turn to give up and give way to their interests. Can I get an amen? Look how quiet it is. Just want you to know, this side's going to be quiet for the next month. So how do you give up and how do you give way? The first way I want to show you, and I have a homework for you, all you couples. I want you to just say yes. I'm serious. Test me on this. Test me on this, all you couples here. I will guarantee a renewed marriage if you do this for 1 week. For one entire week, whatever your spouse says, I want you to just say yes. Knowing that if you do this, your spouse will also ask you things, okay? Just want to make that clear. Because some of you are like, yeah, I'm going to ask my woman all kinds of things. Just know, she also gets to ask you all kinds of things this week. I've been doing this. And it has been killing me. I'm serious. For a while now, I told myself, I said, listen, Brian, you get your way so much. Seriously. Honestly, like, maybe sometimes I don't get my way, but in this culture, the way we live, I get everything I want, anytime I want. So I noticed my wife, when she asked me things, I always respond like a little child. She goes, honey, can you take out the trash? Why do you always ask me when I sit down and watch TV? And she's like, what? I'm just saying, literally maggots are growing in our trash can. Take out the trash. Right? I come home. Honey, we should sit down to eat. I just came home. I want to change. I literally pout every time she asks me to do something. I can't stand giving up and giving way or submitting. So I told myself, Brian, you don't get to say no anymore. You just don't get to say no anymore. So my wife has freaked out. She's like, who are you? The other month, she was like, Brian, are you okay? Like, I think we were laying down. We're just talking one night. And she goes, are you doing okay? Who are you? And what she was saying was, how come you don't resist me? How come you don't say no? How come you don't give your opinions? How come you don't shut it down with your comments? And I was just quiet. I was like, I don't know. This has always been me, honey. She was like, whatever. It's like 2 weeks, fool. And I was like, it's not 2 weeks. It's been longer than 2 weeks. I've been counting. Give up, give way. Just say yes. Literally just say yes. Who's going to do it? Raise your hand. Couples, anyone going to do this? Yeah, I'm telling you, your marriage is going to change. Hey, honey, can you take out the trash? Got it, babe. When you come back in, can you fold the clothes? Got it, babe. When you come back, can you take the kids out? Got it, babe. I'm telling you, your wife or your husband is going to be astonished. And guess what? When you sow submission, you reap love and respect. That's right, baby. So, now I'm gonna give you an advanced assignment. For those of you overachievers, you're like that student that's like, but can I get extra credit? Yes. Some of you need extra credit in your life, right? Some of you guys are high performers and achievers. So I decided this is not enough. This is for white belts, okay? This is for white belts. All you husbands and wives that have a really hard time with submission, this is for you. Just say yes for an entire week, no matter what. Hey, you wanna go see my parents and have dinner with them every single night? What a great idea. What a great idea, honey. I don't watch the kids when I go, you know, watch a movie with my girlfriends. I'll buy the tickets for you. I'm telling you, gentlemen, I'm serious. Okay, so black belt, extra credit. Are you ready? Say yeah. Some of you guys need this, right? Some of you guys are like, I already say yes. I'm already submissive. Okay, fine. This is advanced level. Anticipate and act. Okay? Before they even ask. Anticipate it and act upon it. Your husband or your wife will literally flip out. I remember the first few years of our marriage, my wife used to say to me, honey, why is it that I always have to ask you to do whatever you said you were going to do? So painful, right? I'm like, I don't know, honey. You're like my reminder. You help me. And she's like, that's not my responsibility, right? What is the thing you should anticipate? Do you guys know? You men and you women that are married here, when you come home, you already know what they're going to ask you. It's the same thing they ask you every week, isn't it? And for some of us, we act so dumb. We go, it's like a new thing they're asking. Hey, tonight, can you make sure to bathe your child after dinner? We go, what is a bathing? Bathing? What is a bathing? Can you show me today? No, it's not new. You know what it is. Anticipate it. Come on in. Come on in with Target bags. What's that? What's in your bag, honey? There's soap. Why? Why the soap? Because I'm going to wash the kids tonight. What do you mean? You remember? Yeah, I remember. Watch the marriage change. So what is it? Just say yes all week. Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. Just say yes, whatever it is, and anticipate and act. Your husband or your wife will be amazed, and you will have harmony, unity, and love in your family. All right, the third one is I want you to do submission. I want you to give the bod. Okay, some of you guys are like, oh, I know what he's talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to always give the benefit of the doubt. Hey, right? Whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing, assume the best intentions. Always. Never come in thinking you know their secret intentions. Don't do it. You are 100% wrong. You're never 100% right when you assume the worst of your spouse. And also, if you are, you married a really bad person. So that's your fault. Honestly. But you don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. Really? Then why did you marry this evil person that you're always assuming the worst of? Hello? Give your husband or your wife a break from the tyranny of your oppressive ways, of always trying to make sure you're discovered. Ooh, I got you. Ooh, I got you. I know your intentions. Man, do you know how tired it is to live under that? No way. Your husband or your wife should be free of that. Even if they had a smidgen of that intention, you prophesy the goodness in them. And you say, this is not like you. This is not you. For the man or the woman I married is this kind of person. So you prophesy the goodness of God in them rather than project all your negative assumptions about this person. It has not worked. It has never worked. They will never, ever. Listen, one day you're like, is it because of this? Is it because you had these kind of intentions? I guarantee your husband or your wife will never say, you got me. You got me. You discovered my secret intentions. I humble myself. I admit I will repent. That will never happen. The more you accuse, the more your spouse will defend, and the more you guys will be unwilling to submit to one another in Christ's love. So always give the benefit of the doubt. This is my definition. It says here, I can give you the benefit of the doubt because there is no doubt that you are good, you are smart. Remember, this is the kind of person you marry. You're kind and you're loving. I believe in what God sees in you. Can I get an amen? Now, the final one. We're going to talk about how to submit. Okay, so remember, give up, give way, give the benefit of the doubt. And the last one is give of yourself. Give yourself fully to your partner. Give yourself fully to your partner in Christ. Last week, we talked about a biblical view of ourself, if we can look at that. We said, when you don't have the body involved, you have a Gnostic, Platonic thinking or theology of what constitutes a man or a woman. So we said there's no way in Christian anthropology that you can separate the mind, the body, and the soul, right? Like Plato does. He says, oh, the mind could actually go into a heavenly realm, go into enlightenment or whatnot through knowledge, but the body will stay behind. But we talked about how important it is to have this understanding of what makes us human. And so in marriage, to submit to one another, it's not good enough to just have good intentions or good feelings. Hello? I want you to imagine, in the light of this biblical view of humanity and of love, imagine if Jesus said to us, I intend to die for you. I have good feelings about someday dying for you. But then he physically never offered himself for humanity. We would say that was not a sacrifice. We would say we are still left wanting and needing redemption. It is because Jesus said, I not only have this intention, I not only feel love for you, but I will show it to you by offering my body on your behalf. And this is why we say in Christ, we know exactly what love looks like. So it is in marriage. You want to submit to your spouse. I want you to give your mind. I want you to give your soul. And I want you to give your body. All of it to your spouse. Let me read this for you. Submission is the discipline of joyfully and willfully giving your full self to the other. And it is also the uprooting and the undoing of any hard feelings that may prevent you from giving your whole self to your spouse. Are you angry? Are you bothered? Are you offended? Is there something that's happened between you two throughout the day that irks you? Submission is you dealing with those negative feelings so that your body, mind, and soul is not withheld from your spouse. Many couples, without getting weird, I just want to say to you, many couples don't even sleep together. They don't give their full body over because of this very thing. They can't seem to let go of their offense. They're angry, so they punish each other by withholding their bodies. But one of the ways you discipline yourself is you go, I'm gonna discipline myself to quickly get over offenses so that I can get back to giving my whole body, mind, and soul to the other. That is Christian maturity, that you are over offenses quicker and you don't withhold your body, mind, and soul from your spouse. I'll say it the way Paul said it. He said it like this, the marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife. The wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time. Let me just say that again. Abstaining from physical involvement is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it and if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting. We talked about this last week, right? But only for such times. You should only be withholding your full self during these moments where you're giving your full self into prayer and fasting. Otherwise, you should always, sounds weird, but be having sex. You should always, amen. Thank you. One married couple has a good sex life. God help us, right? Only for such times. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect. Did you hear this? Paul says when you withhold your body, Satan has a way of getting into your heart and mind. Remember what I said last week? Christianity is a body religion. Christianity is not a spirit religion. Christianity is not a ghostly, disembodied religion. Christianity is an incarnation religion. It's a full body religion. It's a giving of our total selves to one another and to God. And when we don't, that's a signal that something is up. And Satan looks at that and goes, that's my way in. When you start withholding yourselves in your mind, your heart, and even your body, Satan goes, I'm coming in. And he's going to create a wedge between you two. And once he creates that wedge, it's over. The gospel power in your life is over. It's diluted. The very purpose of your union is gone. The preaching of the gospel, the serving of the world, the blessing and cultivating this good earth for God's kingdom together, all of that is diluted. You start losing your power and your effectiveness. So I want to say it like this. Let's go back to the biblical view. Your mind, soul, and body. It takes discipline to to communicate and give your mind to your spouse. Every day when you come home, you have to make an intentional decision. I want to connect with my wife or husband through conversation, through the enriching of our mind. Every day, I want you to say, I got to make an intentional choice to connect emotionally to my spouse. But every day, you have to ask yourself, how am I intentionally also serving my spouse with my body? That too deserves attention. That too deserves design and intent. That too deserves discipline. All good marriages in Christ have these three things that are constantly in rotation, that are constantly being checked, that's constantly being disciplined in the person. Amen? Now, I have a truth to tell you, okay? Some of you guys might be surprised by what I'm about to tell you. Especially you husbands may be surprised by this. But this truth is this. Your spouse wants sex all day. And I know you husbands are like, you haven't met my wife. She doesn't want to sex with me any day. I'm going to say it again. Here's a biological truth. Your wife wants sex all day. You think it feels awkward for you? Be the one saying this. Okay? Some of you guys are so quiet. It's assumed that men want sex all day. But women want sex all day too. Now, I'm going to quickly explain this before I get chased off the stage by all the ladies. What does this mean? This is what John Gottman says. Everything is sex. Just getting up in the morning and telling your wife that she smells good is sex. It's all foreplay. I can make the coffee and empty the dishwasher. I can look at the kitchen the way she looks at it so that when she comes in and thinks, geez, I have all this cleanup, she'll be working very sleepily and say, are you ready for your coffee? And she goes, yeah, and here's the coffee. So you're always making love. You're always connecting emotionally in some way, whether you mean it or not. What this doctor says is that everything is foreplay. Everything is sexual. All day, your partner is longing for connection. But what we have believed as men is sex, or that deep connection, only happens when we physically want it. It's not true. Again, you're living in a very dualistic, Gnostic thinking. Your whole self is a sexual being. Your whole self wants to connect with your lover. Your whole self wants to serve. Your whole self wants to be served. All day long, you're longing for deep connection. And that happens with your mind, the way you talk to her, the way you talk to him, the way you're actually interested in what they have to say rather than, hey, are we sleeping together tonight? Hey, are we doing it? Are we doing it? No, honey, I'm too tired tonight. All right, maybe later in the week we'll do it. That's not at all romantic and loving. And we haven't done it in a while. We're going to do it? We're going to do it tonight? I guess we'll do it, right? What our men and women long for is love and respect all throughout the day, and love and respect is sexual, is intimate. So here's my advice for all you married couples. This part, you singles and dating couples, you cannot translate this, okay? All you married couples, I want you to hear this. I want you to have sex all day. And I want you to have sex. Yes, I know, that sounds crazy, right? But I want you to give of yourself the way your spouse wants to receive it. Did you hear me? Serve her or him with your body, mind, and soul the way he or she, you know they want it that way. You go, I'm going to give it to you this way. I know when you wake up, you want coffee. I know when you get home, you need a massage. I know you want deep connections at night. I know you want to talk and not just get physical. I know you want this. I'm going to give you what you want your way because I am submissive. Your way and desire is weightier than mine. By the way, John Gottman talks about this really well-known research done. I think it was the biggest survey and study done on couples who have a great sex life. And he said all of them, I think they interviewed like 70,000 people or something. It was crazy research. And they said that all the ones that have a great sex life, that have a great connection, remember mind, body, and soul, they have these things in common. And I want to show it to you. They say, I love you every day. They give their partner compliments. They have weekly romantic dates. Back to the compliments for a second. Some of you ladies think that your men are like lacking in emotional like awareness. And you guys think, like, my honey don't need no compliments from me. Listen, your man needs compliments from you. He's tough. He grew up without anybody loving him. Oh, you know, he just has a thick skin. He's a tough guy. He don't need no compliments. Listen, it's because you have never given him compliments. See what he does. See what this tough dude does. When you wake up in the morning and you don't criticize his bad breath, you just go, oh, man, babe, I love waking up in your strong arms, even if he's weak. You just go, I just love them strong arms of yours that protect me and love me. Oh, my God, I love you. You are so handsome. I'll tell you what, he may act all tough. He may act so, his exterior is all cool. I don't care what people think of me. I don't care. I don't do Instagram because I don't care if people like my stuff or not. Listen, you do this, I'm telling you, he's going to start changing. And this little boy will come out of him. You really think my arm's strong? I have been doing some curls at work. I didn't know it took effect that fast. Seriously, what would you like today, honey? Honey, should I cook breakfast first? And you're like, yes. Compliments. Very important. They have weekly romantic dates. My goodness. They have romantic getaways. They make time for each other. They cuddle. Right? Even if they're watching TV on the couch, they're touching each other. They express affection in public. All one fabric, and sex is a big part of that fabric. Just take a look real quick at this list. This is what all people that have a good sex life have in common. Look what it is. It's really not bodily. It's the other things that feed the bodily, isn't it? It's all one. It's all connected. How you give your soul and mind your attention leads to how you connect in your body, and how you give of your body and submit to how he or she likes your body to be used. Then that feeds into the mind and the soul. You want to stay connected? You want to be united, as Paul said, for the preaching of the gospel, for the planting of the good news in our world, to cultivate God's beauty in our lives? Your marriage has to be united like this. Amen? So I'll break it down again. Let's see this next slide. Submission is asking, how would he or she want to be touched? How would he or she want to spend time? And then how would he or she want to connect or talk? You know already, married couples, you already know how your spouse wants to connect in these three ways. Offer it to them. Suggest it. Hey, let's plan it. Be intentional. Everything good takes practice, but it also takes intention, right? Sit down tonight and say, honey, how can we do our touch, our time, and our talk better? Can you teach me? I'm guessing it's these things that I've seen in you, but can you affirm it? Can you confirm it? Can I serve you with my body in this way this week? He or she will say yes or no, and then they'll coach you. Actually, I like it when it's like this. I like it when you do that. And then same thing with time. How would you like to spend time? How would you like to connect this week? I like to connect this way, and vice versa. And then how can we connect heart to heart? What can we do? How can we talk? What questions would you like asked that allow you to share your heart and not just information to get through the day? Right? So submission says this. You are good and valuable inside and out, and you are worth giving my trust, my heart, and my body over and over again. You are worth it. You are worth it. So, remember your homework. Just say yes, right? What else is it? The advanced students. Huh? Anticipate and act, okay? How do you submit to the other? Your mind, body, and soul. Okay? And I have a prayer for you. And put up the prayer. This is a prayer I want you guys to pray and give and vows to each other this week. Okay? This prayer, last week, based on Romans 12, we said this prayer to our God. Remember? We said, God, I present my body in loving service. God, I present my body a loving service. God, my body. And we talked about how God deserves our body, not just our mind and our heart. But in marriage, when you give of yourself fully, your body, mind, and soul, you are giving it to God. This is your way of showing God that you're giving yourself to Him fully when you give yourself over to your spouse. So this week, I tailored the prayer now for your spouse. Tonight, I want you guys to hold hands. You guys can look at this. We'll post this throughout this week. But if you want, you can take a picture or write it down now. I want you to say your spouse's name. So-and-so, I present my body in loving service. And wait for the other ones to say it to you. And then you say it again. Honey, I present my body a loving service. Honey, my body, I love you. I will love you with my whole self. That is my commitment to you. Let's do this week. Our full selves, our mind, body, and soul, so that we can be united, so that we can preach the gospel in our time. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for our marriages. We pray for our couples. We pray they will lead the way. They will show us how to give our full selves over to you. I pray the way that our couples love each other will be an example for us. God, that we too can give ourselves fully to you. Help us to practice day in and out with our spouses. Help us to serve you by serving them. Help us to submit to you by practicing submission to our spouse. We love you. We thank you for the kingdom of God. I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you at Palm Sunday next week with our special guest. And those of you that are